March 10th, 2018, GNSO and CUC Outreach Event, starting at 1:30, ending at 3 p.m. in room 208 BC.
You're speaking.
Brenna told me to start.
Brenna told me to start.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, hi, everyone. Who here is not a member of NCUC? Wow, great.
Too many.
So we actually have We actually have something new for you. I know.
Okay. No.
So, my name is Farzaneh Badi. I am not the NCUC chair anymore. Renata Aquino is. And unfortunately, Renata could not make it. So I'm going to tell you about NCUC a little bit, and then we will go through with Bruna to the other agenda item. So at ICANN, NCUC is the non-commercial users constituency, and we are a constituency that includes civil society organizations, academics, and non-commercial users as individuals that want to advance the rights of non-commercial domain name registrants. So this means that we want to fight for, well, I should not keep saying the word fight. They're telling me I'm being like too controversial. So we want to stop trademark overreach in domain name registration. For example, we think that there are generic names that everyone has the right to use and register as a domain name, and it should not be specifically for trademark owners. The other thing that we do is freedom of is actually privacy. We fight for the privacy of the domain name registrants, and this is a very important issue that you see that this ICANN meeting is. They all are talking about privacy. Why? Because, fortunately, we now have a law, a European law, that obliges ICANN to protect the data of the domain name registrants in Whois. Now, who knows what Whois is? Who doesn't know what Whois is? No, everyone knows what Whois is. Oh, that's great! Wow, when I was your age, I didn't know what Whois was. So what we are doing at NCUC, we want better privacy protection for the domain name registrants, and we've been fighting for this for the past 20 years, and we never got anywhere. But now with this law, fortunately, we can make I can comply with it, and. Limit the access to limit the publication of personal data in Whois, and also access to it. So that's one of the things that you see us very active in, and we publish statements, we do public comments, and all sorts of things. The other issue that we do is generally human rights issues, but what you need to really take into account is that these are related to domain names. It's not about rescuing the internet in general. It's about this very narrow function of ICANN, which is domain names. But it is very interesting, of course. There are various issues related to it, and which NCUC is advancing the rights of the non-commercial domain name registrants at ICANN. So that's about it. Bruna, would you want me to? Do you want me to tell them a little bit about the schedule and what is going on at ICANN now? Maybe they can.
I guess we can move on with the agenda. It's fine. Thank you very much, Farzi.
I forgot to say something about NCSG. Should we confuse them?
Yes.
Okay. So So NCUC is a constituency within a stakeholder group, the non-commercial stakeholder group. At ICANN, we have the commercial stakeholder group and the non-commercial stakeholder groups. And NCUC belongs to the non-commercial stakeholder group through which we do policy and various activities. So if you decide that our values are in line with our mission and want to join NCUC, what you do is that you go to NCSG and a non-commercial stakeholder group application, become a member of NCSG, and then choose a constituency. That's it. Thank you, Bruna.
Thank you very much, Farzi. This is Bruna for the record. We at first invited Farzi to join us because, of course, she's the chair of the NCSG, the non-commercial stakeholder group, the umbrella under which the NCUC is under. And we will move on to the agenda for the day. We are planning on working on talking a little bit more about the NCUC and what are our goals and the subjects we work on. Apart from that, we will list some of the NCUC's goals for the year of 2018. And last but not least, I'll introduce our representatives, our leadership team. And there will be a time for a Q&A if you guys would like to know a little bit more about our constituency and the works, the subjects we work on. So starting with a little intro on our work, this is a presentation we use it on the intersessional, which is a meeting between the non-contracted party houses, the constituencies and groups inside the non-contracted party house of ICANN, inside the GNSO as well. Sorry for so many acronyms. You guys will learn about it a little more about it this week. Can we move to the next slide, please? I guess we can move to the next one also. And another one. Yeah. So when we did this presentation at the intersectional, we tried to list some of the regional forums and governance stuff that NCUC is involved with. So given that we are mostly a civil society group that's composed by both academia and more grassroots organization, we have been present in a lot of different events across the world. And we divide our actions also regionally. So some of these actions that are on the screen are either meetings or forums that we have been into. So NCUC does and has done before a huge participation on the freedom of expression discussion in RightsCon. We also tend to discuss DNS abuse and finding ways of granting freedom of expression online. And we're also present in Africa. We go to AIF, I think it's Africa Internet Forum, if I'm not mistaken. Apart from that, in my region, Latin America, we tend to participate of LACNIC, LACIGF, and to promote this discussion within the regional forums. And last but not least, we just came back from the IFF, Internet Freedom Festival. Aiden was there in a very good presentation. We also have been to the Internet Governance Forum, which is one of the most important Internet governance meetings throughout the year. We had a booth there. We did a lot of outreach. And I guess we can move to the next slide. Next one also. Yeah, so the goals for NCUC this year is to maybe become a stronger and more present. We're already present and we do a lot of policy discussion at ICANN, but we want to engage more our members in the policy, in the different policy discussions. So right now at ICANN we have HUIs and privacy, GDPR, we have RPMs, rights protection mechanism, yeah. Sorry. We also have ongoing discussion on generic top-level domains. So the main plan for the year is to build capacity within our members and have them engaging in these policy discussions. and be more present in the policy in the PDPs that I can, and not only that, but also reach out to more organizations and individuals who would be willing to work with NCUC upfront. Can we move to the next slide, Ozan, please? This is sort of an outline of the year for NCUC. We were at this discussion called the Intersessional. We are here at the on Puerto Rico, Icon 61. We're doing this outreach. We did one in the morning. We're doing another one at the end of the day with At Large. In June, we will be in Icon 62. We will, of course, hold another outreach, maybe today's one. This is not set yet, but also to target more civil society organizations in the Latin America. At the end of the year, we will also be at Icon 63 because, of course, we are present in all of the
Sorry, Bruno, if you wanted to finish first, you could. Otherwise, I was just going to ask if I could give a very short update on the IFF.
Of course, yeah. I was just hyping out all of the events that we are throughout the year, but of course you can all ask me about it. I guess we can move to more factual work that NCUC has been working on, and yeah, of course you can.
Thanks for that, Bruno. Hi, everyone. My name is Aidan Fodolin. I'm just going to move this closer for a moment. So I just wanted to quickly expand upon the message that Claudio and I delivered at the Internet Freedom Festival in Valencia last week, because it might be of interest to some of you as well. We hosted a workshop there where we introduced people who are not currently involved in DNS policy activities to what it is that ICANN does, why the domain name system matters, and why you might want to be a part of it. And to really summarize that very quickly, what we said was that ICANN occupies this unique role in that it manages a global public resource, the Internet's domain name addressing space, but it shares this responsibility between businesses, between governments, and civil society participants from many countries. But, you know, and as with, you know, I don't want to get too much into the weeds as to, you know, how ICANN works and how ICANN operates under a regime of policy by contract, but I think the key message is that policy here is shaped by those who turn up. So if you're interested in protecting privacy, in freedom of expression, in respect for human rights, in preserving due process, in ensuring that ICANN does not become a content regulator, then we are a really good space for you to be a part of. And so one piece of advice that I have that I would like to share is simply, it's very easy in this community to be pulled this way, that way, or the other. But if there is one issue that you really care about, come and speak to us, and we can help you find how that relates to what we do in the NCUC and how it relates to ICANN. No matter what that issue is, there may not be anyone else working on that at the moment, but that's okay. That can be the unique niche that you become a part of. So, just a very short intervention to say that ultimately we are a bunch of different actors who are working together to achieve a common goal to support and to promote non-commercial communication and activity on the internet, and that we're the only community at ICANN that is involved in setting DNS policy that is specifically reserved for the advancement of non-state and non-market interests. So feel free to participate in our work. Thanks, Bruno.
Thank you very much, Aidan. Aidan's one of our members, and I would like to highlight maybe youth, young, very young, important members around here. And he's been helping us do these discussions in such important forums as the ones we mentioned, such as IFF. It wasn't only Aidan who was present. I guess Claudio was there as well. If you wanted to
remark on that. Thank you very much. Claudio Lucena, for the record. I would like to take the opportunity first to thank Aidan for the invitation to participate and share the space over there. And just to reproduce a comment I left on the list, which I found it was very interesting. The idea of hosting a session, an outreach session for NCUC in an environment like the IFF seemed to me very interesting. Mostly afterwards, it was an environment I hadn't had contact of previously, but it's a community of a different kind from the one we are usually accustomed to in NCUC and other internet governance spaces. They are developers, they are people who are hands-on, very objective people. So objective, in fact, that even the more dynamic space of policymaking in ICANN might not seem very appalling to them at first. But it was very interesting to see how many people were engaged and attentive and participating in the discussion and the feedback we were also receiving, because I'm still receiving feedback from that opportunity. So thanks for the initiative and for the invitation again, Aiden.
Thank you very much, Claudio. And this is pretty much the work that NCUC does. So we get to do this very much important internet governance related discussions, and we plan to engage even more people, and especially newcomers or the ones who are willing to work with policy processes within ICANN. We know it could be a difficult journey, but also this is like a very open arena for the ones who are willing to help us build a better and more open internet in the more general sense. I would like also to introduce some of our leadership who is in the room, and hopefully Renata, who is also listening to us. Renata Aquino is the NCUC chair. Renata, are you on the call? Are you online? Silent. Okay. Well, we'll see if Renata can join us at some point, but. NCUC has, apart from the chair, NCUC has an executive committee. We have regional leaders in this executive committee. We have one for the APAC region, one for the LAC region, another for the North America, one for Europe, and the last one for Africa. We have three of them here today. The first one is Elsa, right up there. She's the DEC for APAC region. I am DEC for the LAC region. And right by me is Michael, who is the EC for the North America region. Would any of you like to join us in this discussion and present some views on the regions?
Okay, hi everyone. Elsa, for the record. Thank you, Bruno, for this elaborate presentation. I just want to point out that I started as a fellow, and it was pretty hectic to try and link the work that I did back home and the work that ICANN focuses on. And I found my vocation in NCUC since I used to work in a human rights organization. And seeing that NCUC has really been focusing on a lot of issues related to privacy, related to like GDPR, for instance, related to making sure that the user's rights are completely and utterly protected. I found my vocation here. So, also given that ICANN is very much related to or inside the internet governance sphere, it's also important that we make sure that everyone in our regions all together can engage in as many events as possible around the world. It's true that I'm representing the Asia Pacific region, but it doesn't mean that anyone cannot come up to me and ask me any question that has to do with NCUC, even if it has nothing to do with my region. And same goes to Bruna, same goes to Michael, same goes to Ines Hafaid from the EC of Africa, and same goes to Louise, who's the representative for EC Europe. So I just wanted to point this out and tell you that even if you feel very overwhelmed, it's fine. Just come and ask us any question, and we can put together an outline for you to make it easier for you to engage in NCUC, engage in the work we do if you feel like this is where your vocation is. I guess that's where I'm going to leave it.
Thank you very much, Elsa.
Hi. So as Bruno mentioned, I'm the North America rep, and it's great to be here as a representative of North America just because we're so often underrepresented in debates about internet governance. Just kidding. That's obviously the opposite of the case. I think that I agree with what Elsa said about the regional boundaries. You know, the NCUC has people from different regions, and those are our official titles, but obviously, like, it's it's much more fungible than that in the sense of, you know, we have different specializations, different areas that we work on. And that's probably the more, you know, like if somebody from North America was interested in a working group that Elsa had been participating in more and approached me about it, I would probably direct them to her. I mean, it's more thematic and more thematic based, and we are from different regions, but you shouldn't view that as like hard barriers to approaching us. And I just want to say more broadly in terms of who we are and what we do, the NCUC is a little bit different from other constituencies in ICANN in that we're more of a varied bag. You know, as opposed to the intellectual property constituency or the ISP constituency, there are other groups within ICANN that are drawn together by a very clear sort of business connection, and they represent a very distinct user group. And the NCUC comes here from all different directions. Some of us are digital rights activists or human rights activists. Some of us are academics. Some of us are just individuals that are engaged on this issue and don't really do it professionally. Some of us do this purely professionally. Some of us do it in a way that's tangentially related to our work. And there are others that are pure volunteers and really do this on top of a day job. And what unifies us rather than, you know, a single profession or a single business relationship is our unified interest in human rights, freedom of expression, privacy, themes that wouldn't get a proper airing at ICANN if it wasn't for the non-commercial side. So if you're looking around the room and thinking, like, wow, like, you know, this person works at a university, that doesn't really seem like me. Or, you know, this is really interesting, but I'm not sure if my background is the same as the people that are there. That's not a concern at all. The bottom line here is that we're united by this fundamental set of principles, which is what we're advocating for here at ICANN. So if you believe in human rights, if you believe in freedom of expression, if you believe in privacy and transparency, and that's what you would like to be advancing here at ICANN, then NCUC is the place for you.
Thank you very much, Michael. I'd like to invite Luis. Luis is our EC representative for the European region. Just like quick short notes on what do you think NCUC is, or what are you working on your region, Lou?
Hello, everyone. Luis Marie Urell, for the record. Well, jumping in into the room and jumping into the mic. Over at the European region, and we've seen lots of progress, especially in terms of regional engagement. I think as we were talking earlier today, with regards in our EC meeting, I think one of the good things about this region in particular is the proliferation of initiatives and events that can be potentially very fruitful for outreach. And as we've seen most recently, the Internet Freedom Festival, which Aiden was part, and Claudio and other members of NCUC that are in the European region, but also this cross-regional engagement as we see, because different civil society groups kind of go throughout different events in different regions. So I think that is also something to bear in mind in thinking about not only the EC and the different regions, but thinking about the synergies that we can create in these outreach events. And one of the interesting things also is that throughout this year, well, we had the Internet Freedom Festival, we got the WISIS. It's very important to note that we closed the year in Barcelona. So I think we have a very, very positive year ahead of us, even though the year is already going really fast. But I just really like to comment on that And yeah, another thing that I mentioned in the EC meeting that I would like to echo over here is that each region has its own way of communicating. I keep saying that, but I will continue to say that here because I think it's really important to understand the particularities and how to engage with civil society organizations and academics and individuals in these different regions and how to create the best bridges between what we do over here at ICANN and translate that into in broader internet governance and human rights. So I think that is a brief overview coming directly into the session and into the mic. But thank you very much, Bruna.
Thank you very much, Louise. We will have Renata joining us right now. So, Ozan, if we can unmute Renata's line at the chat. Renata is shortly joining us for some remarks. And then we'll open for Q&A. So whatever you guys want to know about us, we're ready. Renata, here to see you.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Yep. Just open. Oh, great. Yes?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Welcome, all. It's great to see you here. And we decided to listen on this outreach block to different perspectives, including perspectives from the ICANN community, fellows, and people joining in online. So it's great to have everyone here. And I want to be very clear about something. I don't really believe in engaging and staying in a space in ICANN if it's not good for you, if it's not good to others, and if it's not fun. I think that DNS policy has a central role in the future of the Internet, but what we try to do at NCC, and this has been a long tradition, is to be critical, to be active and very certain about some key values. And this is something that we continue to do in our policy positions. And we have great debates. There's a lot to think about. And I certainly hope you can participate in these debates and know more. So always talk to our EC and to our focal points, and you see there's a lot to learn about NCC. So thank you, everyone, and hope to hear more from all of you.
Thank you very much, Renata. This is Bruna for the record. Is there any questions? If you guys want to join us at the table as well, of course, you can sit around and join us with any doubts that there are on your mind. Yeah, guys, anyone?
Hello, I'm Thomas Stewart, and I'm a fellow. And my question is basically for NCUC, it seems that you reach out to people who are interested in privacy, and my question is about what the who is. Nothing really seemed to be getting done with it until just last September, but as stated earlier, NCUC has been advocating for some sort of change in who is for a long time. So I'm just wondering, why didn't NCUC have enough power or something to get a change, especially since it's not the GDPR that will make the who is illegal? The who has been illegal since its initiation under the original Data Protection Directive, and even Article 29 Working Party has reached out to ICANN in 2003 about this. Thank you.
Thanks for your question. Does any of our COIS privacy specialists want to jump in? We have Stephanie here. It would be terrible not to have her opinion on that.
Elsa, for the record as well, I think it would be good to mention maybe later on after Stephanie answers the question who works in each working group and so that you guys would know who to ask questions to later on.
Thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record, and that's a good question. This fight has been going on really since the inception of ICANN. It's not that our people, when we originally founded NCUC, we were well aware that there was an issue here. And in fact, privacy proxy services arose at that time as a kind of a workaround to enable people not to have their data in the who is. And NCUC was instrumental in reaching out to the Article 29 group, getting them engaged. It was not ICANN that invited people like Giovanni Butterelli to come way, way back in 2004. So it's been a long and lonely struggle, and really to understand the dynamics of that fight, it's not that we weren't correct, it's not that we did not have the data commissioners saying the same things we were, you know, even prior to the Article 29 common position, which came out in 2003, the International Working Group on Data Protection in Telecommunications came out with a letter in 2000. And before that, Stefano Rodotà, who was the Italian Data Protection Commissioner, the first, I guess, and the chair of the Article 29 group when ICANN was created, he had already commented on it. So this is a long history. We are basically outnumbered. Sometimes we, and this is why understanding strategy is really important. I don't want to intimidate anybody who's thinking of joining us, but strategically, when you're dealing with large I don't like to use the word adversaries, but we have a multi-stakeholder organization here where the people we're up against have a lot of money and a lot of time and a huge financial interest in some of the things that they're fighting for. Access to personal data is of interest for a whole host of reasons, not just the ones you see on the surface. So that's what you're up against. And the registrars have, over the many years, occasionally sided with us, usually because of financial interest, because this openness of data costs them money sometimes, and then sometimes the shoe's on the other foot. It's cheaper for them to just throw it out there than it is to deal with a hidden system. And until we had RDAP, as you can tell, I can go on for hours about this, so you just have to cut me off when you're bored here. Until we had RDAP, we had no really articulated way to do this better. So it wound up being out there. Once you have it out there, then you have people building on illegal use of data so that we've got a huge value-added services industry that has been scraping up the data for free. They're not willing to give it up. So obviously, people are aware that the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, comes with much stronger enforcement action, including 4% fines. That's 4% of gross revenues. So, and I think it has finally gotten through to ICANN that they are a data controller because they set these things in the contract. So people are motivated. One of the most disturbing things, and we're busy preparing comments on the latest model of the GDPR compliance. You know, nothing for years, and then model after model in about 2 months' time. Not that I'm grumpy or anything. We finally saw the analysis on March the 8th, all 60 pages of it, and so we're trying to sift through that and counter the bad analysis. There are some good things there, but no, this isn't. I had a thought that I was going for there. In terms of this thing actually appearing before May 25th, I don't see it happening. I think May 25th, while it's a useful target date, most of Europe won't be ready by May 25th anyway. So I'm about to endorse taking things slower and doing a proper analysis. Anyway, I'll stop there. I hope that answered your question. I'm not sure.
Thank you very much, Stephanie, for joining in. Is Thomas, your doubt, is there clear? Is it clear for you?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Anybody else has any other questions? Or Yes, we have Aiden talking right now, and then afterwards it's Fiorella.
Thanks for that, Bruna. Hi, Aiden Fodolin for the record. I just wanted to add a brief response to that as well. I think that there are actors within the ICANN community who view the perspectives that civil society puts forward as being of less use than other positions. While in theory there are opportunities for civil society participation in all processes, the reality is that without any muscle behind a particular policy position, it goes nowhere, and civil society lacks the muscle that business has, financial power, and that governments have, state power. And so we do have a less influential role in the policy development process. And that's just that's not unique to ICANN by any stretch. This is sort of a structural barrier that exists in all forums. When we want to actually see success, we generally have to partner with someone else who does have that power. Because suddenly it is my perception that when the status quo or ICANN's direction is challenged by either governments, business, or non-commercial users, it is the former two more powerful voices that are listened to and that seem to be able to change the outcomes of policies. But again, this is not a problem that is unique to ICANN. In all regulatory regimes, the more powerful actors dominate, for better or for worse.
Thank you very much, Aiden. Fiorella, your question.
Thank you. Fiorella Belcio, for the record. I'm also an ICANN fellow. I have to say that I attended also the other NCC session this morning, and it felt like I'm in the right place, because back in Belgium, where I live and work, I work for a nonprofit organization that deals with online safety projects for children and young people. And I have been looking at ICANN in the past year since I joined ICANN 58 for a type of working environment like the one you guys described here today. Just that my question is a little bit, let's say, looking into practicalities. So in order to become a member and start working with you guys, when you apply, do you need to refer and do you apply through the organization you work with? Or is this something that you can do as an individual? I'm asking because so this is something that would interest me as an individual through the professional background also that I have. But then if we also need to inform the organization for which we work with, that adds an extra layer. Thank you.
You're welcome, Fiorella. So the NCC membership can be done either way. You can either join as an organization, and we're very much welcome all of them into our constituency, but you can also join as an individual member. So either, even though I work for a digital rights organization, I am an individual member of NCUC, but we have like some other people in the room. I guess Leah is maybe an organizational member. And yeah, Luis, you want to...
Hi, Louise, for the record. I just wanted to compliment that because in my case, what happened is I joined NCUC first I joined NCUC as an organization, actually, because I was working for a think tank, and that think tank was very much involved historically in ICANN. And even though I came as a representing the organization, but once I left that think tank, I became an individual member. So there's this possibility of also transition. Not that you're gonna leave your job, but trying to just give you another perspective to it and another narrative, perhaps, of that was my experience with it. But I think it also depends on the alignment between the interest between your organization and what ICANN does. So I think that's also something to consider when thinking about joining either as an organization or as an individual. But yeah, either avenues are completely open.
Yeah, I actually, backing us up a little bit, this is the problem with these conversations, but I actually kind of wanted to go back to what Aiden said, because Sorry? Michael Karaniklis, for the record. I wanted to go back to what Aidan said previously and maybe paint things in a little bit less of a pessimistic light, because I'm actually much more positive on the role that we have within the ICANN ecosystem and on the level of changes that we can impact and have impacted. I'm fairly new on the ground here. I've only been engaged for a couple of years. But in that time, for example, I've seen the Workstream 2 subgroups, several of which are led by non-commercial people, coming through and impacting extremely strong changes. Or, I mean, it hasn't been adopted yet, but in the final stages of impacting very strong stages in the organization. There's a Workstream 2 subgroup. There's a subgroup dedicated to transparency, which I've been the rapporteur for. My co-rapporteur, when I just started out, I mean, you talk about partnering with other people from different interest groups. My co-rapporteur when I started out was a VP at 21st Century Fox, which is a bit of a strange pairing. But he ended up dropping away, and I became the solo rapporteur. And we've drafted new access to information rules for ICANN that are incredibly progressive. The rules that ICANN is going to be adopting into their equivalent of a right to information law, the DIDP, are on par with those that are found in the most progressive countries in the world and vastly beyond what you see in any other comparable organization, vastly beyond any UN body, vastly beyond the World Bank or international financial institutions. So this is an extremely significant change that was driven, I can say, largely by non-commercial voices, drafted pretty much entirely by non-commercial voices, and that's going to be adopted as a change once the Workstream 2 stuff wraps up. The Workstream 2 subgroup on human rights, which was led previously by Neil Stanover from Article 19, similarly is getting a rule into the ICANN bylaws requiring human rights considerations for everything they do. As part of that work, there's a human rights impact assessment that's currently going on at ICANN, and once the Workstream 2 for that finishes up again later this year, there's going to be human rights assessments that are going to have to be factored into the work of every stakeholder group, of every policy development process. This is a groundbreaking work in this field, and it's being driven by non-commercial voices. Obviously, you know, even pointing to the GDPR, where you can say, well, you know, non-commercial voices have been screaming about this for years, and it took that external sledgehammer of regulation before it was done. Where did that sledgehammer come from? The GDPR was enacted by governments, but it's been civil society at the same time that's been pushing that forward there. So yes, governments do have potentially a bigger stick over the process, but civil society can have a role in that area too. And so just to wrap up, I guess I've been going on for a while, but as an activist who came over from the digital rights side and is used to dealing with governments, I think that anybody that works in human rights knows that your failures will typically outnumber your successes. There will be more times when you advocate for change and scream and the law gets passed anyway, the guy gets arrested anyway, the guy gets charged anyway. That's a much more common outcome than getting the person out of jail or getting the law killed. Human rights advocacy is difficult, but coming in here from a background of trying to approach governments on this stuff, coming here from a background of trying to approach Facebook and Google and tech intermediaries and trying to impact change there, I was actually astonished at how easy and effective you could be in actually drafting and impacting changes. I came in as the Workstream 2 rapporteur for transparency, and I was amazed that I was just drafting new transparency policy. That doesn't happen in the governmental side. That doesn't happen when you're an advocate in the tech sector side. So you can have an enormous difference, and you won't succeed and get everything that you want, but at the same time, non-commercial voices do have had and continue to have a very strong impact here.
Thank you very much, Michael. Rafiq, do you want to... You wish to join us? And afterwards, Stephanie, of course.
Okay, thanks. Rafiq speaking. I mean, we heard many things about the impact of civil society. Since we are discussing policy here, it takes time, and there are so many interests. So I'm hearing, like, it's do we won or lost battles? I'm not going to see it. I don't think we should see this. This is not a war. But we have to keep advocating for some position. It takes time to educate people, to understand what we are talking about. So it's normal that we may be frustrated sometimes, but it takes time, and we have to keep the fight and to explain again, over again. So we succeeded sometimes. I mean, maybe a few years, many of you were not here. When we were talking about new GTLD program, it was not about GDPR or anything related to that. But we could warn against the opposition of the registry and registrar to have the applicant support. So it's possible to set the agenda. It's not easy. It takes time. You have to be strategical, and you need to plan. So that's why we need to encourage people to join. I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. We will win all the battles, but we can do a lot of things. We can influence in many aspects. So hearing all this opinion, what I want just to emphasize here that it's one of the rare space that you can participate in policy discussion. You won't find any similar to that when you can participate. So it's great experience for you. You can learn about how things are done. I know if you are a newcomer, fellow, and next gen, and so on, you will hear how ICANN is a wonderful organization, multi-stakeholder, bottom-up, and so on and so on. But there is another side, that the reality, some reality check. However, it's still a place that you can do many things. When you can find many like-minded people, then they can help you. They can guide you how to participate, how you can make impact. It takes time. Like anything else in this in the real world, so don't be kind of not pessimistic, not optimistic. Just you be pragmatic, and how you can make influence. You take your time. So since we have that NCUC as a group, that help you to do a lot of things because you will find the support, you will find guidance, you will find people who can mentor you. So that's what I wanted really to emphasize. I just don't want to say we are winning all the battles or we are not losing. We are not losing all the battles or we are losing them. It's just we can do many things. If just we keep focusing, we try to work together, and there are a lot of avenue for doing this. So.
Thanks, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I came back to the microphone because I don't mean to sound negative about our long struggle, but people should be aware of what they're up against. And I think that the policy development actually goes on in the PDPs. There's good work done in the cross-community working groups as well. Workstream 2 is kind of a special thing left over from IANA. But the proof of the pudding is when we start fighting out about the actual policies that come out of these things. So, for instance, for human rights, it's getting that human rights impact assessment embedded in all of the policy processes. That's where, you know, getting down to the nuts and bolts of drafting the actual language that is going to be difficult. So that is, as Rafiq says, that's a long game. And, I mean, personally, I'm retired. I'm not like all you keen young people. I'm retired. I should be home knitting. But because I've been at this so long, and when I came here 5 years ago, I realized that ICANN was flouting data protection law, I'm committed to making change. So I may even hang in for another, God help me, 5 years. Because it's going to be 5 years before we get an accreditation scheme for actors in the who is. So I'm trying to say this is not for the faint of heart, but we're looking for people who are willing to actually engage, learn, and keep at it. I mean, if you care about an issue, my particular one is privacy, but I have a handful of other ones that I haven't had time to address. Yours might be child protection. There might be, you know, transparency, you name it. You can probably find an issue that we feel strongly about, free expression being one, of course. And we do work together to try to share information because some of us, I'm on about 5 working groups at the moment. That's a heavy load. That's about 30 hours a week of reading documents, analyzing documents, drafting comments, reading emails. And you get a certain amount of abuse. I was one of the first privacy officers in Canada back in, bless me, 1984. And I still have to tolerate people on the RDS working group after 10 years working on drafting our law telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about on data protection. That makes you grumpy, you know? It really does. So, I mean, that's all we're trying to say is recognize that this is really important work, and as Michael says, it's one of the few venues where you actually get to mix it up in policy development so you can have an impact. But it is definitely not for the faint of heart, and we need to work cohesively together in order to share experience, keep an eye on the strategy, make sure that the parallel working groups aren't contradicting each other. That takes work. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. And just a quick note on that side, if you are willing to work on policy with N2C and build like this thick skin and work with us, we have opportunities. We have a fellowship program. An NCUC fellowship program. Once you become a member, you can apply to attend one of the ICANN meetings on behalf of, and not on behalf of NCUC, but as an NCUC member. We have 2 of them here. One of them was Oliver, who just left the room, and the other one is Pharrell. So we get to help people attend our sessions and the ICANN meetings and to work with us. So we are very much supportive of the ones who are willing to do the work. Does anybody else has any question or?
This is Sherry Shack, fellow. At large and NCUC are both about civil society, but one is AC and another one is under SO. So why is there this division?
Anyone? an AC is an advisory committee, an SO, for instance, is a supporting organization. NCUC is a constituency inside a supporting organization, which means that we get to work on policy development process, which is mainly what the SOs do. So the difference between the ALAC and one of the differences between the ALAC and the NTUC is that NTUC can sort of have some influence in all of the PDPs, the policy development processes that GNSO develops for the generic level, top level domains. So we get to like represent the end user voice in these policies. The advisory committee side, the at large, they are allowed to give advice when asked, but they do not develop PDPs. So this will be like the main difference between the two of them. At large, advice is in a whole different position, and NCC and GNSO, of course, we built this policy. So this would be one of the main. Aiden.
Thanks, Bruna, and that's absolutely right. And I think there are 2 other important distinctions between at large and us. So in the NCUC, our members are only individuals or organizations who are pursuing public interest-orientated, non-commercial-orientated objectives. Within the at-large, they have a different membership, and you do not have to only be a non-commercial entity. And I think that's quite important. The other difference is within the GNSO, which is our institutional home at ICANN, we only work on GTOD, generic top-level domain policy. And so we work on creating recommendations to change policy. At large, as an advisory committee, and I don't want to sound too flippant about this, but I mean, as an advisory committee, they can comment on a much broader array of issues, whereas we have that narrower focus, just GTOD policy. But they offer advice. Advice is not always listened to. Or maybe it's listened to, but not always, you know, actioned upon, if that makes sense. So I think, and it is at least my perception, that you can have more of an impact within the GNSO and within the NCUC, if you're then you could at large if you do want to impact GTOD policy. Thanks.
I'll just add one small thing, which is in addition to all those points, which I think go to the heart of the structural differences between engaging on those different areas. I think for me, if you were to ask fundamentally what's the difference between NCUC and ALAC, I'll bring us back to what I said at the outset about the culture of being focused on freedom of expression, human rights, privacy, transparency, these core ideas, in the sense that we come from different areas, but we tend to advocate similar, we tend to be united by policy positions. ALAC is, and I'm really bad at the ICANN structural stuff, but as far as I understand it, ALAC is meant to represent the individual internet users. But at the same time, they have their own structures there, but the goals that then get manifested through that can be much more varied, I think, than what you find at NCUC and NCSG for that matter. So to take an example, one of the leadership people at AFRLO, is it? The African one? The African part of ALAC works for the national telecom regulator in Egypt. Now, you know, that person who's basically a government regulator in a country where the regulator is not independent at all and is controlled by the government and is an arm of the government, an arm of repression, if I can say that, that's a person who's representing the interests of internet users. That would not fly at NCUC. That would not fly at NCSG because even though, you know, it may sound similar to be representing non-commercial users, individual users versus the internet community, there's, I think, a more fundamental values core that's at NCUC that may not be manifested in the same way at ALAC.
Thank you very much, Michael. If we can unmute Renata again, she wanted to have a say on the stakeholder journey. Renata, are you listening to us? Also, to the ones who are...
Hi, Renata here.
Hi, Renata, we're listening to you.
Oh, great, thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to, again, thanks everybody who joined. And Sherry, great to see your question. I have been following your work for quite a while. Pharrell, also good to see you there in the room. And this is very different, everyone. We never really open our outreach space to have you asking us questions and talking about yourselves. So I would really like to know more of everyone who is there. I'm following you online this time, but it's like I'm in there with you because I have following your work, and I think we have many points to identify between your work and NCC work. And most importantly, as you can tell from all the young, beautiful people at NCC, we are a very youth-led space. We are not just gorgeous. We are we are very inspired for fighting civil society. So there are many faces again on policy in ICANN that you can be active in. A lot was spoken about RDS, but there's also RPM, which is kind of like an out-of-body experience, some of the RPM calls, because it's such a complex world, the world of trademark and rights protection. But with us, you can definitely know more about it. So, yeah, keep in touch and always... tell us about what you want to know about NCC. And remember, we have our opportunities, our fellowships. So, yeah, thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Renata. So do we have any less questions or... Go ahead.
Hi, Mujibullah Shams, a new fellow as well. My question could relate to the structure of the GNSO as a whole and a specific role of NCUC inside GNSO. So as a whole, GNSO develops policies, as far as I understand, for the generic top-level domains. So how does the issues like data protection and privacy relate to the policies that are being developed for general top-level domain names?
Thank you very much for your question. Does Aiden or Stephanie want to short? Thanks, Stephanie.
It's a good question, Stephanie Perrin, for the record. It's a good question and one that, feel free to cut me off if I go into too much detail. One of the problems with the whole who is question is there is no policy for who is, even after 20 years, okay? So there have been four registrar's accreditation agreements, which are contracts between the contracting parties who are members of the GNSO and ICANN. But those are not policy development processes, those are contracts. And at each new contract, more demands on the who is were set in place. The original requirements for who is were articulated by the U.S. Commerce Department back in 1998 when they set up ICANN. So it was the who is requirements have just been going along like a little automaton, absent an official policy. After NCUC pushed and brought data commissioners into play at ICANN meetings, one of the early task forces, which were cross-community task forces, suggested that the way out of the impasse between those who wanted data protection and those who didn't would be for registrars to be able to apply for a waiver from the requirement to follow their contracts in order to comply with data protection law. That's a procedure. It's called the Who Is Conflicts with Law procedure. And there's an implementation committee starting up very soon under the auspices of the GNSO to look at that procedure, because after 10 years, it still doesn't work. 12, I guess, now counting. I'm losing track of time. So that is authorized by the GNSO, but there has been no official policy out of the GNSO. Now, the RDS working group that some of us, Aiden included, and I are on, which I would encourage all of you who, if you're looking for a PDP to look in on and discover what ICANN policy development is like. This is a real sausage-making exercise, let me tell you. We've been going for about 2 years now, feels like 10, and we're basically going through all the data elements and purposes, and it's slow going, but that's what policy development can be. That is a GNSO-authorized, board-mandated policy development process. And so that's a good place to start. In the meantime, there's plenty of other who is related policies that have gone on separately, some mostly through the GNSO, such as the thick who is policy. Does that mean anything to anybody? Probably not. Basically, it's a legacy thing. Some of the big dominant U.S. players who were running registries back when ICANN was formed, the decision was made that they would not have all the client data. This is when the market was opened up for registrars. So to give a fair playing field to allow other registrars to sell the data, they said, no, you can still operate the registry, but you're not going to have all the customer data. Now they're deciding that maybe these big registries should have the customer data. We're talking about .com here. That's still the biggest top-level domain. So that policy was finished a couple of years ago. Several of our members were on that working group, but it's kind of been on hold because of the GDPR, because of the failure of the privacy shield, because .com is in the United States, and the new GDPR model refers to thick who is data in compliance with that policy. Okay? So sometimes the board has intervened to actually take action when the GNSO has failed to come up with something. And that's another way to get policy. They will mandate the GNSO to do something. Does that answer your question? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. And with this last comment, we are finishing this session. If you guys are interested in learning a little bit more about the differences between the NCUC and the at-large, we are starting a session, another one, the last one of the day, in 15, 20 minutes. So, in 20 minutes, we'll be holding the session with the differences of the both groups and community in this part of the communities and how we differently engage in all these policy processes. And we will also have a constituency day on the 13th. So during this week, we will hold like sessions for the half, a good part of the day as well. And this will be another good opportunity for you guys to listen more into some of our members and how we do this. So yeah, Luis, and then we're done.
Just a closing note, Luis, for the record, just feel free to reach out to any of us. Just if you're passing through the hallway and you have a question and you're unsure, just feel free to reach out to us. And if we're not experts in a certain subject that you're interested in, we can certainly redirect you to someone, to a focal point. And to also talk a little bit more, because we have so limited time, but to go over what are the ways and the avenues through which you can engage and be more active within ICANN. I can assure you that it is a process. It can be really demanding in terms of time. I think Stephanie made really good points on that. So I just wanted to stress out, don't feel intimidated. Just feel free to stop us anywhere, anytime. And thank you so much for your contribution and for raising questions. It can be really difficult to do that in your first ICANN. So I just wanted to end with that note. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And see you in 15 minutes.